Sometimes life feels out of our control. We get stuck in trauma, old patterns, and change feels out of reach. Sometimes it feels like fate. We want to help you break out of old, unhelpful patterns and become healthier. We're Fate Resilience, taking control of the outcome.
With licensed therapists, Jennifer Oxford,
Taylor Madsen,
Haley Mayer.
Hi guys, welcome back. Right now, this is the last part of our boundaries series, unless we decide to create additional things just to keep you guys here. But no, we're going to talk a bit about what Taylor's kind of used this term with it. I'm sure there's also additional terms that you've probably heard of different things, but zero depth boundaries. And so we'll have to put like a graphic with this one to kind of show it. But essentially, you know, talking about how there are different depths for boundaries. Think of it like a pool, right? You're wading off and going into different levels of the pool. It doesn't usually just have, a drop off for the most part, unless you're in an Olympic pool and you're diving into it. But a normal pool scenario would be that there is a slope. Right? There's a slope associated with it. And as you go down the slope, you are slowly being submerged more. I guess, Taylor, where would be a good place to start with that as far as boundaries?
Yeah. So think about closeness with other people. You can start with no contact, no closeness, not being around a person, not talking to them, no texting, no emailing, no FaceTiming, no phone calls. That's not being in the pool at all. And then you have some kind of contact. Maybe you say hi to them in person, you have a text, a social media interaction, something like that. That would be getting your toe wet in the pool, just very bottom of your feet wet.
It's like we're starting outside the pool at the stairs where you're not in the water, and then you've now taken a step in. It's not, You're not obviously like pulled in at all. It's just you now have contact with the water.
Yeah. If you've ever been to a wave pool at a water park, it's just, you could just get your ankles and you just slowly walk in. There's not even stairs or a ladder.
And it mirrors like a beach experience, right? Where you're just starting to dip your toes into the ocean or something like that. So if you've been to the beach at a lake and it's just really gradual, it's very gradual. It's meant for people to move in at whatever depth that they want versus I'm either all in or all out. So when we talk about this, it really is this part of you can be all out. And then instead of going all in, you start to move into it a little bit at a time. Mm-hmm. And so it's that idea of when you are trying to create boundaries or reestablish boundaries after, you know, a separation or a rupture that was really significant, we're about moving into this in a way to kind of say what works for me. And I always think of like if you've ever gone into the ocean and it's super cold. Right. Mm-hmm. And some people jump right in and they're like, the way to do it is to jump all in and then you won't. I am not a jump all in. I'm a like really slow. I'll take a step and get like acclimated and then take another step and get acclimated. And that's kind of what we're talking about is we're using this idea of I'm not in to I'm in and I'm getting acclimated to boundaries as we move into them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I hear good things about nature. It's been well recommended.
Hasn't been there for a while.
If that contact goes well, that you're interacting well on social media or texting is going well or talking to each other at work or school is going well, then you take another step into the pool or the ocean and you have a little bit more contact. Maybe you talk outside of work or school, or instead of just talking on social media, you begin texting. Going back to that, the nature of trust, freedom, and responsibility, since the other person is responding well, you know, they're responsible, they're safe, you give more space, more freedom, and they in turn maybe respond likewise. So then you take another step in deeper into the pool or the ocean, and maybe you start seeing each other more outside of work or school. Maybe you are now FaceTiming instead of texting or calling. And so we just keep going deeper and deeper until maybe we're seeing each other every day in person, maybe every other day, something like that. Maybe there's a sleepover or something like that. This doesn't have to be a romantic thing. This can be a friend thing.
I like this whole analogy too, because essentially, yeah, we've been met with something that feels unsafe or uncertain. We're slowly getting accumulated, slowly getting into it. Like Jen said, ocean's cold, getting slowly accumulated. Some people do the whole, like, I'm just going to jump in and fully submerge. I can't do that. My body goes through shock. So it's more painful to do it that way, I feel like. But it's one of those things where what they're saying, slowly getting in there, some people are like, oh, and I can really easily pull back if I need to. But something to be aware of is, I don't know about you guys, but when you go into a pool or when you come out of the ocean, there's that like pull, like when you're going into a shallower end, it's harder. It's a lot easier to walk towards the deeper end. So much easier. There's less pull. It's less of an issue. It can sometimes feel like you're dragging when you're going towards that. So that's why we don't go back and forth so quickly. Taylor will often tell, like, when we're talking about this in terms of like a separation for a couple and them getting accumulated, we want to start, you know, and go towards something. We don't want to necessarily continue to go back and forth, because that's not going to really establish a pattern of behavior. If all you want to do is go into the 3-foot end of the pool, that's your mark, right? That's all you have to do. We're not saying you have to go deeper. Some people want to go deeper, some people don't. But it is about staying consistent. If your goal is 3, then we're not going to say, like, we're going to go from 3 to 1 and 3 to 1 and keep going back and forth. Like, we're going to kind of stay as consistent as we can. Just as like with the pool, for the most part, you don't see people like going back and forth just because, like, I don't know about this. Okay, I don't know about this. You know, they're usually trying to just find their comfort zone, and then that's kind of where they chill, right?
And I love that you explained that, because the couples and dyads that do kind of try and jump in and jump out and jump in and like, oh my gosh, we're all out or we're all in, or they, you know, they will set a boundary in therapy and then they'll totally break it outside of therapy. And then they act like they have to repent to their therapist. It's not your therapist, right? We're just trying to help you. Yep. They tend to really struggle. And actually, I don't see them have really good experiences with repair, because what they're trying to say is we can't tolerate the repair process and the boundary, like finding a healthy boundary. Because the truth is, a healthy boundary sometimes is we're not that involved, yep. Right? I've had friendships that, you know, there are things that I include in those friendships that I'm like, okay, we can do this and we can be healthy, but I don't follow them on social media. I just don't. And it's okay. It's okay to have that limit. Or we don't hang out one-on-one. We only hang out in a group because that's more comfortable, or we did, you know, so it's about learning how to do that and being. I love the image of shock that you talked about too, because I think a lot of people, when you do go in too deep, too fast, you can go through this really limbic, right? We've talked so much about the limbic system with trauma experience. And then it's hard to pull out of I'm all in. And then it feels like rejection to the other person, because it's like, whoa, I jumped in and I wasn't really ready. So now I feel like I have to jump all out. It's really confusing to the, not just the individual, and it is confusing the individual, but to the relationship development or repair, it can be really confusing.
And some people won't be okay with the depth in the pool or the ocean that we are wanting or needing in the relationship. Mm-hmm. I see this most often with men. Either in my personal life or in therapy, I have men compare themselves most often to a grizzly bear. It's just a really interesting pattern. I don't know if that's happened with you, Jen or Haley. But they'll be like, hey, that's just how I am. I'm kind of ornery. I'm kind of grumpy. I'm kind of angry. Fill in the blank. I'm just kind of like a bear. Like, just got to accept me for who I am. And then I always return back whatever animal that they've shared, whether it's a lion or a tiger, but most often it's a bear. Interesting.
Always really masculine animals.
Yeah.
And not like, I'm just a peacock, you know, I just want to fly. No.
Peacocking. I know, right? And I'll say, okay, well, how comfortable would you be sleeping in the same bed as a grizzly bear? And then the shock on their face always comes, and they kind of look like they've been shocked, like jumping in the deep end of the pool, because no one would climb into an enclosure with a grizzly bear.
No rational person.
Fair point. There is that guy that was eaten by grizzlies in Alaska because he would go out and hang out with them. And so we need separation between us and grizzlies. So if you're not emotionally safe, if you're not physically safe, you know, fill in all the other blanks with safe, then there's going to need to be more space. And so maybe they'd like to be closer to you, but you are not safe enough to be in a deeper relationship.
Mm-hmm. So this actually reminds me of a conversation I had with a parent too. So let's talk for a minute about a kid who maybe struggles socially. Right. And maybe they're a little more grizzly bear than they are doing well. And we were talking about like my, you know, they were saying my child's going through rejection. And of course, that's affecting their self-esteem. And that happens to adults too. So this is not just child related. But then what I was saying is that in those situations, right, if we go back to zero depth boundary, we want a highly structured social situation for those kids. So what we talked about, like, putting them in sports or camps where there's a lot of structure and they can get really good feedback and monitoring. And I would say sometimes that's really important for us as adults, right? We don't always need the no structured relationship experience. That's why, you know, for a lot of first dates, people want to go get like something that'll only take an hour and I'm going to have just this much time and then we're going to be done and it's going to be natural. Those are also examples of lower depth boundaries where we're not all in and not all out. And we're practicing social skills. We're practicing boundaries, whether it be, as kids or as adults, we're practicing what works and what doesn't. And when something doesn't work, we're saying, okay, now I either need to gain skill around this or this is the boundary. And it's okay if that's the boundary.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I, when I have been in the dating world, have definitely, like what you're stating, I really believe in the concept of first dates, 45 minutes, public place, make it so that it's something that's quick. So you can kind of like dip your toe and decide, do I want to go deeper or do I not? Right? Do I want to spend more time? Do I not? And if I don't, no harm, no foul, right? I don't have to like drudge my way out of there. You know, I've also been one of those people who have been stuck on dates that, you know, they are really long and we just don't have the relationship to have that long of a date when I just don't even know this person, right? So I think that is a really great example, like you mentioned with that, of just what could be going on and what happens, because yeah, it's just one of those things where it's not something that's often talked about of that being a great example, but that is just such a good example. I also know this as like friends, right? If you're going to hang out with a new group of friends that you meet, you don't necessarily want to plan a weekend trip with these people you just met. I mean, that's the making of a reality TV show, right? Of just like someone who feels super uncomfortable. And you're deciding to, you know, include yourself. I think being able to go into that, I think, is a big thing. Anything else with zero depth boundaries?
I just want to circle back for a minute with separation. So I want to just remind that in the rupture repair cycle, distance is necessary to healthy repair. And the bigger the rupture, the more the distance, right? And so when we talk about this, I think a lot of people I hear a lot, people are terrified of distance when it comes to relationships. And they believe that somehow the distance, in fact, I had some guy tell me, and I don't know what the real, but he had this whole statistic on if we're in a separation, the likelihood that we're going to end divorce is like super high. And I would say it's more about how you do the separation, how long you waited to do the separation. Are you getting help? Are we willing to do the work? I once asked a friend, I said, what do you think helps people work through really tough issues? And he said, it's about being honest, open, and willing. Not about whether you're separated or not. It's just about those things. Are you being honest? Are you being open? And are you being willing? And in those cases, those are the cases that we see people make the most progress. Mm-hmm. And I would say with zero depth boundaries, I would go back to, are you being honest about what boundaries really work for you? Are you being open to practicing some boundary work, right? And are you willing to take the feedback of what works in the relationship and what doesn't and work with it, versus there's only one way to have this relationship and it's all in or all out.
Yeah, you bring up a good point, because there's a Gottman flooding protocol that they talk about, where it's, you know, when you feel really overwhelmed and you need a break in a conversation, or just if a conversation just in general gets really heavy, like all conversations should be able to have a stopping point. It doesn't matter, like the whole like don't go to bed early and all that kind of stuff. That's going into like a really not great depth. That's not, you know, that's not holding yourself actually to anything that's really healthy. You need to pause. You need to disengage. You need to disconnect. Sorry. In those moments, and start fresh, right? Which is, you know, a stop in a conversation is a very small representation of a separation that a couple might go through, kind of thing. And, you know, with what you're saying, like it's about finding safety and finding grounding. And when it comes to boundaries, giving yourself that space or giving yourself that availability to know how close do I need to be with this individual? How much do I need to be engaged with this individual? If you can't be able to make that space for yourself, that's showing you you're probably in too deep of a depth, right? That's showing that you're not able to really master the area you're in. And that's not to say anything negatively about you. It just means like, hey, you know, you take one step too much in the pool and you might realize, ooh, this isn't quite where I need to be at, right? You don't tell a kid like, hey, go as deep as you want, right? You usually tell a kid like there's some boundaries with it of like, hey, you should only really go, you know, as far as the 5-foot line, honey. Like anything deeper, it might be a little too much for you, right? Or hey, only go towards the 3. We only stay in the shallow end, right? For toddlers. I have a nephew and we actually took him to the pool last night. And we were, they have this like little ledge area for the kids that they can do it. And they have like chairs you can sit on there too there. But then they have stairs that go down into like the 4-foot area. And then it goes down to the 5-foot area and things like that. So with him, it was like, we were watching him and we're like, hey, you know, dude, you can't go any deeper while you don't have your floaties on, you know, while no one else is with you. We're all chilling on the side of the pool. Some of us don't want to get into the pool today, but we're here. So you can play in the shallow area, but you just can't play in the deeper area, right? And so we do this, but for some reason, when it comes to talking or it comes to emotionally processing, we tell people, you need to get thrown into the deep end. Right? You need to have these serious conversations with people since day one, right? And this is also not only physical separation. I think a great example of this is making friends and having those friends who all of a sudden trauma dump on you on day one, and they tell you all their story. They throw themselves into the deep end of that relationship. And you're looking in and saying, I just wanted to know your name and where you grew up, right? I didn't need to know about like your awful dating history or this. And it can make some people feel really uncomfortable. Some people are like, I'm used to the shock. I'm used to getting thrown into the deep end. This is fine. So I do that. But it's also about emotionally opening up to people in general, not just partners. It's also about like our friends and our confidants and the people around us. And it's about how not every goal of every relationship is to get to the deep end with that person. You know, sometimes it's totally fine looking at it and saying, the goal for my relationship is just to find what level I feel like is appropriate. Maybe with my boss, I'm only going to get like 2/3 of the way in. I don't really want to go to the deep end with my boss. I don't want to like get to know them so, you know, intimately. I just want to, you know, be on a first name basis, say hi, have them know my goals for work and move on. And so you need to identify where that level is for each person you're with. Identify what feels comfortable, what feels appropriate for you, and then decide like, how do we want to work our way towards whatever the goal is? And then you kind of go from there. And so I think it almost is a badge of honor nowadays that I've seen with people where they're like, oh, I just tell everyone my things. And I'm like, yeah, but maybe they aren't ready to hear it. Or maybe, I don't know if that's the best for you. And so with this zero depth idea.
Well, and that can be a sign of your own, like, that's your own anxiety of mm-hmm. I'm throwing all my crap out there. And
if, are you going to accept me?
So you can
even. I think we talked about that in the so attachment episodes a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
So this boundary is really great for those who have attachment. Mm-hmm.
I think the biggest mistake.
And that's when they struggle, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think the biggest mistake we often see around zero depth boundaries is what you were talking about a little bit earlier, Jen, and you as well, Haley, is that people can't handle any measure of distance or space. And so they'll try to take a break in the middle of an argument, or they'll think that if we take a break, we won't get anything solved. And so they'll keep going, and it just makes things
messier.
Yeah, it'll make it messier and actually last longer than if you took a break. Or if they're taking some space or even a separation, they'll end it too soon, and it will just fuel the conflict pattern. Thanks for listening. You can find us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Please feel free to rate, subscribe, and review. And if you want to find us on social media, we're on Instagram and Facebook at Fate Resilience. We'd love to hear from you.